Thanks for listening to Schlereth and Evans On Demand. Did you know you can listen to us on Alexa? Enable our skill today, then say, Alexa, play 104.3 The Fan.
Sad day here in Broncos country as we mourn the loss of Broncos owner Pat Bowlen passing away at the age of 75 last night, surrounded by his family. The NFL Hall of Fame has released a statement. Roger Goodell has released a statement. We also have some words from your pal and mine, Stink, Terrell Davis, who says about Mr. Bowlen, quote, "It's in the stats. Just look at the numbers. It's one of the most successful winning franchises in the NFL. He doesn't get the credit, and a lot of it is because he didn't want the credit." Close quote. That's from TD, and it falls in line with kind of the message and in the stories that you're telling about Mr. Bowlen, where he did all these great things. He didn't want the credit for it. It was about the big picture. Even his family, in their statement about his passing, said that their father always had them focused on big picture.
Right. And it's amazing. And TD's 100% right. I mean, he didn't care about his name being kind of the forefront. He just wanted his team to compete and have a chance to win. I mean, that's all he ever really wanted. So I just thought that was, you know, just an amazing part of him. But I've told you this, so connected to the team, you know, so connected as kind of one of the guys, used to break us down and stretch. So he'd come out and stretch with us. And then sometimes, you know, we'd always, you know, somebody'd come up with a word or as a breakdown, and he would, you know, sometimes come out and lead stretch, and it was just fun. You know, it was great. It was really cool. And, I always tell this story, but I'm going to tell it again because this is just kind of who he is. So I don't know what year it was, probably 97, 98, and our assistant offensive line coach, Barney Chavis, had a office in the weight room. And Barney would go down there. Sometimes he'd play chess with, there's a couple guys who used to play chess, but he would play chess, or he'd go in there, shut his door, and you know, take a nap before practice sometimes. You know, take a 20-minute cat nap real quick. Cause, you
would
know,
he
coaches,
tell you guys, or would he just go disappear?
He would just go act like he was going to go work, and then, you know, he'd go in there. I mean, you know how it is as a coach, and I'm not, this is not telling on Barney Chavis. I mean, I know a lot of guys have to shut their eyes for 15, 20 minutes, you know, and so he'd get in there and shut the door. So he's in the weight room, his door is shut. You know, we know that he's taking a nap. So end up getting some pennies, and I penny him in the office. So I put the stack of pennies in the top of the door, you know, and shove them all the way down so you can't open. It jams the lock mechanism, you know, the open and shut lock mechanism. It jams it so tight up against the door frame that you can't get out. Unless I take the pennies out, you are stuck in your office. So I penny him in while he's sleeping, right? And we're all kind of giggling, right? So get them all pinned in. Then I grab the weight room phone and I call upstairs to Mr. B's office. Mr. B's secretary answers. I go, "Hey, it's Stink downstairs. Can you put Mr. B on?" "Yeah, hold on." "Yeah, Stink, what do you need?" I go, "Hey, listen, I just pinned Barney into his office. He's in there asleep." I go, "Call him and tell him you need to see him immediately." And he's like, "Oh my God. Yeah. Hang up. Like he couldn't wait. So I hang up and instantly the phone in Barney's office rings. He's like, yes, sir, Mr. Bowlen. Yeah, I'll be right up, Mr. Bowlen." And so he goes to the door and he can't get out. Now he is like screaming at us. You so-and-so's, get me out of here. Mr. Bowlen needs to see me. And meanwhile, Mr. Bowlen has run down from his office down to the weight room to watch Barney go ballistic trying to get, I mean, he's trying to break the door down and he can't get out. And finally we let him out. And we're howling, and he is so pissed off. And Mr. Bowlen's standing there, like, laughing along with us, right? It's just the funniest thing ever. And, you know, that was him. That's the kind of connectivity he had with his team. And like I said, I think it's really hard for anybody to be completely in charge, to delegate the authority, but you know the buck stops there. You know he's completely in charge. But still, Like, still, like, you couldn't go up to Mr. Bolin's office and say, hey, I don't like what Mike's doing right now, what Shanahan's doing. Can we, like, Mike, he, get out of here. I hired Mike to do a job. He's doing the job. Like, whatever he says goes. But that you can still kind of be that connected to your players to come down on a practical joke like that and be part of it and think that it's the funniest thing that, that's ever happened, you know? I mean, that was Mr. Bolin. And I'll tell you what, it just was some great, just some unbelievably great memories of, you know, being a part of the organization. And ultimately, you know, like I said in a tweet this morning, we not only lost our owner, we lost our friend. And, you know, I stand with Broncos country, like, and I just sad that we lost, our friend.
A rare and special man. And that's what I've always thought about Mr. Bolin and certainly accentuated today hearing these type of stories. And that's what makes this franchise a rare and special franchise. I've said it for years, Stink. Probably heard me say it. Like, Broncos fans are spoiled.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all are spoiled. Because you've got a connectivity that very few fan bases have with their team. There's a few, Green Bay springs to mind, whatever, but like Broncos country and that team and that connectivity and that emphasis on championship. I mean, we know people, some people driven crazy by this, but Denver is a Broncos town. That's it.
Welcome to Bronco Land.
They're the show. There's
right.
nothing else. That, you know, once in a while we'll talk a little something else. Something else will get our attention, but this is Broncos country that has become that and been that way for years because of Mr. B.
It'd have been interesting to see. Obviously, the Rockies weren't around, you know, but it would have been interesting to see the landscape of Colorado sports and Denver sports back before Mr. Bolin owned the team. Like, where were the Broncos? You know, they had the Orange Crush days, and, you know, I'm sure the Nuggets, you know, back in the Issel days and the, you know, back in those days, they had some really good teams. So I'm sure that they were fairly popular, but you know, you're 100% right. I mean, this town, it just, it feeds off the Broncos. I mean, that's as this town's mood coincides with the record of the Broncos. I mean, it's like nothing I've ever seen. And I will tell you, and there's, it's interesting inside the circles of kind of the NFL, some of the places that I run and some of the people that I talk to. And there really is every year kind of 12 franchises that have a chance to win a world championship. You know, every now and again, you're going to have catch lightning in a bottle, and there's going to be a team that, you know, that does something miraculous. But there's like real 12 kind of owners. This is how it was explained to me by some front office types. And they're like, there's really 12 teams that are worried and care about winning a championship. The other teams are like, hey, if one happens to fall on our laps, great. But we're about owning and about the equity of our franchise growing 20% every year. Like, that's what we're about. We're not about winning a championship. We're not about doing what it takes to win a championship. We're about continuing to be a part of the NFL, continuing to watch our franchise grow 20% a year. Like, you guys are spoiled. We are spoiled, Broncos country, and I'm one of them, because our franchise is going to do what it takes to be competitive and try to win championships. And we're one of the 12. And, you know, that's a pretty good place to be.
Pretty good place to be, thanks to Pat Bolin. As we mourn the loss of Broncos owner Pat Bolin today on the show, Roger Goodell, NFL commissioner, has released a statement. We get to that and more of your thoughts next on The Fan.
This is Steve.
Hi.
Steve loves manila folders.
It's true.
That's why he started a company supplying manila folders to large corporations.
In both white and eggshell.
What Steve doesn't love is spending time paying suppliers and browsing for loans. Luckily, First Bank offers time-saving treasury management tools and business loans, so you can spend more time with your passion, even if it's manila folders.
In both white and eggshell.
Okay, Steve. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC. Go to eFirstBank.com/business for more details.
Good morning, Broncos country. Schlereth and Evans. As we mourn the loss of Broncos owner Pat Bowlen passing away last night at the age of 75. We will get to Roger Goodell's statement in just a little bit. But we have uncovered some audio. Actually, we didn't do it, but Ryan Green, friend of the show from CBS4, has some fantastic audio. He found this in the CBS Denver archives. It's from an interview with Pat Bowlen after he first bought this team. Let's hear it.
I didn't get involved or buy the majority interest of this ball club because I needed a hobby. I wanted to make it into a career. It's not what a financial man would say a good investment, but it's a good investment for me, and because that's personally what I want to do. I'm not just interested in making money anymore. I'm interested in making myself happy in the job that I'm doing. But I didn't buy it so that I could go to the games on Sunday and sit in the owner's box. I got involved with the Denver Broncos because I feel that I want to be very active in the day-to-day administration of this football team.
What are your feelings going to be the first time you're sitting in Mile High Stadium, the team takes the field, and you say, hey, that's my football team?
Oh, well, I mean, I would be probably the most excited guy in the world at that point in time, obviously. That's what I'm here for.
Almost like being a new papa.
Almost like being a new papa or being, having a dream come true.
Dream come true?
Yeah.
That puts a smile on your face, Sting.
It does, man. It just is cool. To hear his voice, it's cool to kind of see his vision. And then, that's 84. And, fast forward all these years later, I mean, to watch that vision come to fruition, to watch him, manage that team and be an integral part of the organization and to be the top dog and the administrator and to grow it financially and to grow it to what it is today. It's remarkable.
Buy the Broncos making money. He bought it because that's what he wanted to do.
Yeah. I just think it's really cool when you see somebody that, regardless of what that vision is, that they have this vision and you have an idea of how you're going to get there. Obviously, it takes many, many turns, It's like, you ever kind of driving and all of a sudden Pike's Peak catches your eye, and it's majestic and it's a sunny day and you can see the white snow caps and you're like, wow, how gorgeous is that? And you can see it in the distance, right? And you could say, man, I'd like to go there. I've got this kind of vision. I can see it. I know it's in that general direction. It's kind of southwest of where I'm sitting right now. But you can see that and you have that vision. And as you take off for that, there's many twists and turns in the road that happen on your way to achieving that. And you're not exactly sure what those twists and turns will be, but I assure you there are going to be issues and there's going to be problems that you're going to have to overcome. But I just think it's really cool when you see somebody that says, this is my passion. This is my vision. Not exactly sure 100% of how we're going to get there, but doggone it, we're going to get there. And then you just go about, working to make it all kind of come true. And so, like he said in that interview, it's a dream come true. It'll be when I see that team take the field and I'm the owner, and when I see that first happen, it's going to be a dream come true. Just really cool sound.
How many other owners would even say that, even back in 84?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how many other owners be like, I didn't do this to get into it for the money.
Right.
And it's interesting to note how he says, like, a financial man would say this is a bad move.
Right.
Bought it for $70 million. Now it's worth $2.6
billion. Mm-hmm.
Pretty financial.
Right.
Good move there. But that's not was never his focus.
Right. It's interesting because Jerry Jones tells kind of a similar story about, buying the Cowboys and how bad at the time it was, bad investment. They were bleeding money, like $1 million a day, where they were, and to hear him tell the story about, cutting deals with, like cutting apparel deals with the local Foot Lockers to try to stop the bleeding at that point. it just is, it's fascinating that obviously it's become an unbelievable investment. But a lot of that is because of the visionary aspects that these guys have, that Mr. Bolin had, and the way you build that franchise and the way the success of that franchise, you know, I mean, the way the success of that franchise kind of is in your hands. And so not only building it community-wise, but as Adam Schefter, who was on the program earlier, mentioned, over $30 million in donations through the charitable funds of the Denver Broncos. I mean, just to, you know, to become an integral part of that organization.
Integral part of this community and doing it with that hands-on approach.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what's most special about hearing your stories, Adam's stories, the stories that's coming through on social networking from people sharing their memories, is just, it was the personal touch.
Right.
That Pat had, that not many other owners or executives would even do in today's sports world.
Right. Yeah. It certainly was all those things. So, this really, it just is a, you know, just what an unbelievable, like I said, blessing it was to play for the Broncos, to be a part of this organization. You know, football, I tell you what, football has given me so much more than it's ever taken. And the same can be said to me about Mr. Bolin. It just gave me so much opportunity. And, you know, you look at it, and I had fully planned after I played here to head back to D.C., you know, kind of where I started my career. And you integrate yourself into this community, into the Broncos organization, and into Colorado, and you're just like, why would I go anywhere else? Like, this is home now. And, you know, Mr. Bolin and Denver Broncos certainly had a lot to do with that. And, you know, you retire. Heck, I retired 18, 19 years ago. It was the last time I played. And, you know, you still, for me, I still travel the country, and people still identify me as a Denver Bronco, which is, it's just a, what an honor. And, it, you know, to play for an organization like this is, you wear that honor. That's like, you know, it's a badge of honor you wear on your sleeve. Like, I was a Bronco. I am a Bronco. It's just, that never goes away. And he helped create that image that essentially has, you know, has been a huge part of this city's growth and this city's just kind of overall presence in the landscape of our great country.
I think that's a badge of honor that you players wear, and I think it's a badge of honor that this fan base wears as well. Like Broncos country, and you travel around. I know, Stink, you see them. There's Broncos fans everywhere.
Yeah.
And, you know, they wear that badge of honor. By the way, you know, seeing this on social networking as well, Emily Allen from Fox 31 had tweeted it out that fans are arriving at Mile High to leave flowers at the Pat Bolin statue out by the stadium.
Mm.
So that's happening right now. As here in Broncos country, I think one of the most resonating statements from the family when the statement was released last night was, heaven got a little bit more orange and blue with the passing of Mr. Bolin at age 75. Again, Pat Bolin, Broncos owner, passing away last night, surrounded by his family. We get to Roger Goodell's statement and the impact of Pat Bolin, not just on the Broncos, but on the NFL as well. That's next on The Fan. Morning, Broncos country. Schlereth and Evans, Cecil Lammy sitting in for Mike Evans as we're mourning the loss of Broncos owner Pat Bolin, passing away at the age of 75 last night, surrounded by his family. NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell has released a statement. It says, quote, Pat was driven by the will to succeed, and his competitive spirit made him a great leader. We all will greatly miss him and his kindness, passion, and wisdom. Pat had a deep love for the game of football, the Broncos, and the city of Denver. In the 35 years he owned the Broncos, he helped deliver a remarkable 21 winning seasons and 7 Super Bowl appearances, including 3 titles. our league is also better because of Pat's extraordinary contributions as co-chair of the NFL Management Council Executive Committee and the chair of the NFL Broadcasting Committee. Pat played an instrumental role in many facets of our league that benefited fans, players, and clubs. Pat personified all that is right about the NFL and is extremely deserving of this summer's recognition as a member of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. We send our deepest condolences to Annabelle, the Bolin family, and Broncos fans in Denver and around the world, close quote. That is from NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell. I think maybe some younger fans don't realize back when that Fox deal was made. Pat Bolin instrumental in implementing Sunday Night Football, but also implemental in getting Fox, who was seen as the third, like the little brother, the kid. Back then, people, the younger fans won't remember this, but Fox was an afterthought as a network. They were, you know, an up-and-coming, kind of a rogue group as a network. And the NFL makes that deal. It was a coup for Fox. And the NFL, Pat Bolin, they saw the future and how that deal, among others, really helped change this game.
Well, think about it. At that time, Fox was in only 60% of American households, and the only show they were known for was an adult cartoon, The Simpsons.
Right.
Like, that was what they were, that's what they were known for. And, you know, it's relatively shocking when you think about that Pat and Jerry Jones had such influence and such pull and such vision that they've got the other owners to, like, they got the other owners to essentially agree, even though there were, I was told that, like, Art Modell, who was the owner of the Browns at the time, was adamant. Absolutely no way we're going to, are you kidding me? You know, we've got these relationships with CBS and this relationship with, you know, NBC and ABC. And, you know, it just was, it's fascinating that you would break off and head to this fledgling network.
Because NBC lost to the NFL.
Right.
That was the deal. And that's why when they got the XFL, that was their, they got football back, but NBC lost the NFL
to Fox, who was at the time a cartoon network that only had 60% of American households. Like, you gotta have, like, you gotta have vision and you gotta have, like, just straight up onions to be able to convince everybody that this is the way, this is the future of the National Football League. And then all the television deals, all the revenue, and like, you know, Mr. Goodell said, was instrumental in Sunday Night Football, which is now, it's the highest rated program in all of television.
It's the show.
Yeah.
Like, no longer is Monday Night Football like the biggest thing. Sunday Night Football is.
Absolutely. And so, I mean, just like so many of those things can be directly, if you kind of follow the clues, and you look at it, they can all be directly related to Mr. Bolin creating an opportunity for revenue and for the, you know, contracts that we see now and these players, these players getting paid $100 million contracts and stuff, that, like, a lot of that is directly attributable to Pat Bolin and the work he did to get these television deals in place. So again, the players, whether they know it or not, like, every player in the league was directly affected by Pat Bolin's leadership and by his, you know, by his vision for, you know, for what the NFL could be from a television standpoint. And a lot of that goes to Mr. Bolin.
Yeah, revolutionary. I've always said it, that Pete Rozelle had a vision for the NFL that is now far surpassed what you could even dream of, because he had innovative people like Pat Bolin on committees, television committees. I know Mr. Bolin had, you know, made a push for international, for the NFL to go international. Well,
that's why every year we went, you know, my years here in Denver, we went to Japan, we went to Mexico City, we went to Australia. I mean, just about every year, like, Mr. B volunteered, like, hey, my team will go. Let's go. Like, you want to talk about put your money where your mouth is, right? I mean, you know, or talk the talk, but walk the walk. He's like, there's a need to grow our game internationally. That's where the next, like, that's where the next revenue, one of the next revenue sources will come from. And he goes, as a matter of fact, okay, you know, I'm the one that said it. Let's get these NFL, let's get these European games out there. Let's get these, you know, back in the day, it was London in the preseason and stuff of that nature. And he just said, let's do it. Let's expand globally here.
And now it's London in the regular
right,
season.
And it was like, oh, by the way, my team's going to go. So, you know, I mean, that's a guy, you want to talk about putting your money where your mouth is. That's Mr. Bolin.
Mm-hmm. Mike Kliss, our friend from 9 News, had this tweet, and I think it's fantastic. He says, I remember Pat Bolin pointing towards fans crowding in the berm during the 2013 training camp. And Mr. Bolin said, quote, this is their team. It's not my team.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you manage your club well, the fans appreciate that. They have a stake in it too, close quote. And that's something that really resonates with Broncos country as well, because the mood of this city is dependent on what are the Broncos doing. And
right.
Mr. Bolin understood that connectivity. That's what he had with you guys as players, with people that worked for him on staff,
mm-hmm.
Mike Shanahan, et cetera. And that's what he understood with this fan base as well. It's about connectivity and that relationship as a business owner.
Yeah, there's just no question. That's part of the legacy, obviously, of building a franchise and building an organization. And you look at them right now, and that's like, just follow the leader, right? The blueprint has been placed for you. It's been put out there. Like that's, and it seems easy. You know, it seems like a really easy blueprint. Obviously it isn't, right? It's like, it's hard to have that kind of ability to connect and the ability to lead and the ability to delegate and the ability to have authority and, like there's a lot of balls in the air. You know, you're juggling a lot of balls there. And so, you know, the blueprint is in place, but I think it's really hard to always adhere to it and follow it.
It had to be, I will assume this, Stink, tell me if I'm right or wrong, but it had to be, in a way, easier to follow this man because he was boots on the ground with you guys.
Mm.
He's out there sweat equity with you guys. You
yeah,
know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It was one of the things that just set them apart. It was just it was a great organization. I tell you, the thing about the Denver Broncos during my time here with Mike Shanahan and with John Elway and with the Terrell Davis and the guys we had, you know, I think one of the things that just set it apart is obviously the organization was just a first class organization. And like, it was the first place I'd been in Washington for years. And when we got here, like part of Mr. B's deal was, hey, on the road and Saturday night before games and on the road, get your own room. You don't have to, like, I'd never had that before. We always had to share a room. When I was with the Redskins, we shared rooms on the road. We shared rooms, like, and he's like, and the Redskins, like, if you want your own room, you have to pay extra for it. And Mr. Bolin's like, no, you don't want to have to lay by a guy that's snoring and, you know, and like, you're adults, so you get your own room. Like, just things like that matter. Like, those are the little touches that basically say to you as a player, man, you're an important part of the organization. You matter to us. And like, we became this destination place. We became a place here in Denver where other guys during the course of the season, you'd play against them and be like, guys, hey man, I'm a free agent after the year, man. Denver, man, that's the place, right? Like how cool, like how good. And you just tell them how good it is. Like, this is where I want to go. I mean, that's the kind of atmosphere and the culture that he created, that every, like guys from other parts of other teams wanted to be a part of.
Legacy, certainly an outstanding and long-stretching legacy for Pat Bowlen. We mourn the loss of Broncos owner Pat Bowlen today on the show. Is he the most important figure in Colorado sports history? We ask our Denver 7 Broncos insider, Troy Rank, about that next. Good morning, Broncos country. Schlereth and Evans here on The Fan, mourning the loss of Broncos owner Pat Bowlen. We go to our hotline, talk to Troy Rank, our Denver 7 Broncos insider, brought to you by Tranny Law. Troy, good morning. Certainly a sad day in Broncos country. Your thoughts, some of your memories about Mr. B, Pat Bowlen, and his role with the Denver Broncos.
Yeah, I mean, when you're a young reporter, as I was when I first started covering the Broncos at age, 25, I'd never been around an owner that was so competitive and that he set a standard in the building. Marcus talked about it. You know, this idea you'd be number one at everything. So many owners say that and it's eyewash and their actions never match their words. He created an expectation of excellence, yet he did it without meddling, Cecil, which was so unique for someone who desperately wanted to win. He would hire the right people, put them in position to succeed. And as Mark said, he would do everything for the players, from whether it was the hotel rooms to the seats on the plane, extra room to technology to the biggest coaching staffs. And I've had Shannon Sharp and Terrell Davis tell me even recently how they just didn't want to let him down. You know, and he showed compassion. Again, these are things that are unique because owners that want to win sometimes can be ruthless, or they can be petty, or they can be meddling. He wanted to win, yet he was humble enough to step back after the pieces were put in place to watch it play out. And I always admired that about him. I'll never forget being in San Diego when the Broncos beat the Packers. And I was fortunate enough to cover that game and seeing him in the locker room afterward, just the joy of finally breaking through. If 1977, the Orange Crush put Denver as a city on the map because of that football team, them winning the Super Bowl solidified the reputation of the Broncos as kind of this landmark flagpole franchise for the NFL. And it's directly attributable to things he did as an owner. So it's a sad day, but also a day worth remembering his impact on not just this franchise, but frankly, this state and this community.
As a young reporter, did you have any individual interaction with him where you got to talk to him or ask him questions? Like, what was that like? Did you have that experience, and what was it like?
Just a little bit. You know, you would observe him at practice. I'll never forget, I'd see him on it. You know, he'd ride his bike all the time. He was a triathlete. Like, right before he bought the team, he competed in the Ironman triathlon, finished like 135th out of more than 1,000 competitors. So I marveled at, you know, that he was that competitive still as an athlete. But my interactions with him were usually at training camp, Mark, in terms of, because I wasn't at the post at that point. I was at the Longmont Daily Times call. So every once in a while you get a chance to talk to Mr. Bowlen, but he was very comfortable in the background. He would usually have his preseason prediction of saying you guys are going to go 16-0, and that if he didn't believe in you, who would, you know, and it was his team. And so, but he was just intense. And I would talk to players how he did that football pool, the college football pool, and he'd choose Oklahoma in every game, every year. And he wanted to win so badly. Yet, then he would talk to players and say, yeah, he checked on me to see how I was feeling. I was hurt. Terrell Davis, the first person that called him after he tore his ACL and essentially what ended his career, the first phone call he received was from Pat Bowlen. I just talked to Terrell about that recently, and he just said it was just he was cool. He had a compassion and a desire to win, which typically don't blend well together. So my memories of him, Mark, in talking to him, just how intense he was and how direct and to a matter of fact he was about, I put this team together to win. That's what we're here for.
He's Troy Rank, our Denver 7 Broncos insider, brought to you by Tranny Law. Is Pat Bowlen the most important figure in Colorado sports history?
Well, again, if you'd see him as an executive, absolutely. If, you know, it's hard because sometimes the players, it's an apples and oranges thing, and it ultimately is one in the arena. That's where the athletes are. And so for me, you know, this Colorado sports is John Elway and everyone else. I mean, he's the Babe Ruth of Colorado sports, but John Elway's career isn't the same without Pat Bowlen.
He vetoed a trade to Washington. in 91. Pat Bowlen vetoed that trade of John Elway, so...
Exactly. You know, he had the foresight to realize, hey, we can still get to the finish line with John Elway, because they could have traded. And how much history would have been different? Maybe the Washington wins way more Super Bowls. But, you know, in terms of a professional sports owner, I mean, the idea it took him this long to get in the Hall of Fame is laughable. He should have been in years ago. But if you also look at the full picture, Cecil, of his off-field work, his philanthropy, his involvement with the Special Olympics for more than two decades, his involvement with the Boys and Girls Club. I mean, when you look at the whole picture, it would be hard to say someone's left a bigger footprint in sports as a sports figure than Pat Bowlen. And again, you can't underestimate it. I grew up here in Colorado, what it meant to this city, state, and region when the Broncos finally won a Super Bowl. And they did it, as Mark was there, because of Pat Bowlen. I mean, he wouldn't let it die. He was like, he chased that dream until it was fulfilled. He could have easily said, I'm spending all this money where it's just not going to, you know, he was not going to be satisfied until he had that Lombardi trophy in his hand. So to have that competitiveness with the blend of humility and compassion, it's just, that will forever be his legacy for me.
You know, we're one of those great cities that, you know, has four of the big four, right? Four big time professional sports, and the Rockies and the Avalanche and the Nuggets and the Broncos. And obviously we joke around all the time, but it's true. This town basically lives and breathes Broncos. This is the number one show in town, and it's not close. And I wonder, you grew up here. Was it always that way, or like, how influential was Mr. Bowlen in developing this organization and this organization and the love this city and Broncos country has for this organization? How instrumental was he in bringing it to this point?
Well, and to understand the history of the sports here, there were no Colorado Rockies till 1993. There was minor league baseball, so they got a late start on this, and they haven't won a World Series. But understand that the Colorado Avalanche, it was the Colorado Rockies who had very little success and moved and became the New Jersey Devils. And they won here as the Avs, but, I mean, it was weird because they weren't kind of from here. It was different with Ray Bourque later. And then when you look at basketball, they had David Thompson and Dan Issel, great teams. They never won the championship. And that's why when people ask me about why the Broncos are so important, they've been here the longest. They have become in so many ways a state religion, a state institution. But they wouldn't have been if they were losing all those years. You know, if Pat Bowlen takes over in 84 and they have four straight losing seasons, you know, they're not the same. His ownership coincided with John Elway's career, which certainly didn't hurt, but it didn't mean they were going to get to the finish line. And Pat Bowlen was not satisfied with, hey, I got a great quarterback. Maybe 1 year we'll go 10-6, maybe 7-9. We're always going to be popular and win. He treated the Broncos like a civic institution. This was a source of pride. And to be a source of pride, you have to do one thing, win. And that's how he emboldened their legacy. And they became a must-see watch with Elway, certainly, when I was growing up. But none of that would have mattered if they weren't winning. You know, the two-minute, you know, all John's comebacks, and what are they centered around? They had these comebacks where they won the games, and that's when the Broncos became a national story. And, again, it goes back to Pat Bowlen seeing that, riding that wave out, and as you guys talked about earlier on the show, his vision for not only the team but the league. And I just admired the fact that it all centered around winning. And when that's your motivation for an owner, it's powerful, and yet he did it without meddling. He put these people in place with Coach Shanahan, whether it was, you know, Fox after the, or, you know, and he was responsible for Kubiak, but he trusted people he hired to do their job, and then he sat back in the shadows and watched it play out. But yet you could feel his expectation. Every day I was in that building in the 90s when I was covering your team, Mark, you could feel the expectation. And I think that's something that's been missed, unfortunately, since his illness. But when you walk in that building, it was like they're here to do one thing, win trophies, not get praise, but to win trophies.
He's Troy Rank, our Denver 7 Broncos insider. Troy, we certainly appreciate your time, man, and thanks for joining us here as we remember Pat Bowlen.
Yeah, take care, guys. Great to be on.
All right, there we have him. Troy Rank, Denver 7 Broncos insider, brought to you by Tranny Law. The passion, the emphasis on winning. I want to be number one at everything. It's my favorite mural out at the facility at UCL Training Center. And when you look at his impact on Colorado sports, is Pat Bowlen the most important figure in Colorado sports history? I'm going to say yeah. I'm going to say absolutely yes.
Wow. I suppose it would be hard to argue. You think about the athletes, and you think about the guys who get it done on the field, and the Elways of the world, and you know some of the other great players that have played here, not only on this football team, the Carl Mecklenburgs of the world, and you know Tommy Nalens and Shannon Sharps and Terrell Davis and Gary Zimmerman and some of the greats that have ever played here. I mean, you go all the way back to Louis Wright and some of the guys from the Orange Crush defense and Randy Gradishar, and I just tell you what, on and on it goes, right? An incredible influence those players have had, but you look at the totality of the landscape here in Denver when it comes to this Broncos franchise. And one of the things that's been kind of almost genius about the National Football League is the National Football League understands that, you know, they're the star players and you got to have some stars and there's some star quarterbacks and they hang their kind of franchises on those guys. But they have done an unbelievable job of creating this relationship with their fan base where you're rooting for laundry. And you're rooting for the jersey. It's about the name on the front, not the name on the back, you know, and that's how the general population, the NFL, you know, you love Bill Romanowski when 53 was in orange jersey. As soon as 53 went and got in the silver and black, you couldn't stand him anymore, right?
Right.
He was horrible. He's the world's worst human, you know? And the NFL has done a great job. I mean, I watched these NBA finals, and obviously we saw Toronto defeat the Golden State Warriors after Golden State has gone to five NBA championships in a row. And we saw this all play out. And you know what the news is? It's about pending free agencies of Kevin Durant now that he's injured. It's the pending potential, you know, free agency of Klay Thompson now that he tore his ACL in that game. It's where's Kawhi Leonard going to go? I mean, it's going to be the, you know, the Clippers. It's like their players and player news trumps their championship. Like it trumps everything about the NBA because it's been, you know, it's been all marketed toward their stars. Where the NFL, you know, markets their teams. Yeah, their stars have endorsement deals and everything else, but it really comes down to it's such a team sport. It's so far from being individualistic. And you know, the NFL has done a great job with that. And obviously, Mr. Bowlen created that here on a different level to where, you know, his influence in bringing championship quality teams here, always being competitive, always having, I mean, they hadn't had until last year a back-to-back losing seasons since the 70s. He bought them in 84. So from 84 until last year in 2018, they had never had back-to-back losing seasons under his guidance as the owner. I mean, right. it's just, you want to talk about influence. It's huge influence.
More Super Bowl appearances than
losing seasons too. I mean, it's crazy. And you can attribute that success directly to Mr. B.